You're listening to Chapter and Verse, the teaching ministry of Muleshoe Fellowship with Steve Frisco. This message was recorded on August 24th, 2022, and is titled Doubt. Grab your Bible and let's join Steve and the message.
You almost thought he was going to come back this week, didn't you? Everybody showed back up. Hey, how about a little praise offering for Curtis, because that was a good word last week. How many of y'all went home and looked at your trees to see if any of them were parked by a water tank and wasn't growing? Yeah, that's we're going to talk about some more of that tonight. That's what's that seems to be the general theme anymore. People that have been parked by a water tank and they hadn't been getting any moisture, hadn't been receiving, so they hadn't been bearing any fruit. And tonight we're going to talk about some things, but before I get to Murph's up here tonight, we've been talking about in our Bible study a lot on Tuesday morning, just a little bit more there, would you, Leonard? The Bible study on Tuesday morning, we been talking in Ezekiel 40, chapters 40 through 48, to bring out a vision that God gave Ezekiel about the temple. And so in that, we've been doing a lot of comparisons about the temple. One of the main functions of the temple was that was where you found the glory of God. And so when you take a realistic look at things, the glory of God's not revealed in buildings built by human hands. He said in his word, he doesn't even dwell there. But the glory is revealed in his temple. We're the living stones. We're the temple. So is the glory of God revealed in us in our everyday lives, at our kitchen tables, at our workplaces? What does the glory of God actually look like? What would it look like to an outsider that was looking at us? These are all serious questions. Tonight, we're going to talk about doubt. Why would you talk about doubt? Because doubt monkeys with your faith. Your faith has a direct result in the glory of God. It's all a faith issue. And so, as we talk about these things, I want to continue to encourage us that as the temple of the living God, can I look at myself and say, man, God, can you reveal your glory in me? Not because I've memorized the whole Bible, not because I checked the boxes and done all the stuff, but because of the reality. See, the reality. We were talking about it just before we got up here tonight. You can't, reality brings no doubt. Reality brings no question. You get diagnosed with a disease or something, you find out that's real, that becomes very real. If I tell you Curtis Preston is a white guy wearing short sleeve pants, that's reality. Do you want me to get him to stand up on a chair and show y'all? But there's no question in it. That's just it. Why is it different about God and his kingdom? Why do we have to have debates? Why do we need theology? Theology is just simply man's theories about God's absolute truth. Just an old cow sale auctioneer asking a few questions. What's the big deal? When you live in the reality of the kingdom of God, when you live in the reality of the word of God, when the Holy Spirit of God is real in your life, why would you doubt any of it? Who caused that? What causes that? So we're going to talk about that a little bit tonight, because the presence of doubt means the lack of confidence. Unsure of yourself. I'll have to tell a couple team roping stories tonight, but they definitely apply to this situation. It's amazing how your confidence can go up and one little deal and there you go. All the way back to the bottom. Got to work your way all the way back up. But we'll talk about that later. And let's pray tonight. We'll get the Murphs up here. They got a little testifying to do. And Lord, we just want to thank you tonight. And Lord, there's lots of people here tonight. Got different situations, different things going on. Lord, Orva D asked me to pray for Angel. My granddaughter that's having a hard time and dealing with some things. And I know there's many others that are dealing with things. Lord, I just ask you to reveal your reality. That, Lord, that in every one of these situations, we could come face to face with you, Jesus, so that our faith would be strengthened, that there wouldn't be doubt, that someone like Angel could find your peace and your comfort, could hear your voice and know that she has a blessed assurance and her troubling times. Lord, we need reality. Lord, I know you're for real. There's no doubt about it. You are the living Son of God. You're the risen Lord. Lord, we thank you that you have given us your Spirit. The very Spirit that raised you from the dead is now brought life to the body of Christ. Praise you for that, Lord. Thank you for your word tonight. Thank you for the testimonies. Thank you, Jesus. You've truly blessed us. Oh, and Lord, we've been doing this now for a few days, and we're not going to quit. We want to thank you for the rain. Yes. Lord, I'm reminded tonight, as I was looking at the green grass a couple hours ago, Lord, just like sin, it's as though a drought never happened. That's what your spiritual rain does for us. That's what your forgiveness does for us. It's as though it never happened. Fresh is the dew every morning. So Lord, we give you praise for your grace and your mercy. In your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Yesterday, about this time of day, I was going around a fence, electric fence, and out in the pasture, and I come upon two rattlesnakes that were mating. And if I never had seen this before. I've seen videos of it, but they were up off the ground that high. And I know Janice. I put it on Facebook, a video of it. Janice, I know she saw it. Did anybody else see that video? Okay, so some of y'all did see it. And it was it kind of give you the willies. And somebody asked me, said, "Did it just give you the, you know, just freak you out?" And I said, "Well, I was kind of used to it because I was just got back from Washington D.C. So it didn't surprise me very much with what we saw in Washington D.C. and what's been going on. Never mind, I say that." We did, for some of y'all have already asked about, we just got back last week from Washington, D.C., and man, what a time we had. When we got there, we walked around. We got there on a Monday, and we got there about in the evenings, and so we didn't have a set to do, but we walked around the mall and the Capitol building and whatnot, and we both said, "It just feels heavy. It feels way heavier than it was last year when we were there." And it just had this presence. But when we got into the tent, and the tent has been going nonstop since 2015. So can you imagine 7 years of just solid praise and worship? 7 years nonstop. And you don't think the Lord is not there. He is there. And just the presence of the Lord. And then as we went around and we did our decrees and declarations and whatnot over the Department of Energy and the Agriculture Department and the Department of Transportation, and we went in front of the Capitol, and Steve had given us a couple from this church, had given us two or three decrees, and it just seemed like this heaviness just left us. And we talked to some people that there's little pockets of prayer. There's a place called the American Center for Prayer and Revival, and it's directly behind the Supreme Court. And it's been going a few years, and we had heard about it, and so we just wanted to go by and see it. And you got to have an appointment, and you got to be scheduled to even go in this place. But anyway, we decided, I don't know, Rhonda said, well, I rung the doorbell, and this guy opened the door, and he looks at us, and we said, I said, I don't know why I'm here, but we're from Texas. And he said, y'all come in. And so anyway, this guy was manning the prayer room, the American Center for Prayer and Revival. He was manning this for this part of the day. And he just needed encouragement. And the Lord had started giving us words, and they had a piano and a guitar laying over there. And we just grabbed it, and just the three of us, we had the best worship time we've ever had. And then, it's just as encouraged us, because we heard of all these pockets that life is coming. You know, it's a dark place, but pockets of light are coming into Washington, D.C. And so that encouraged us. It really encouraged us that because we know that light can outshine darkness any night, right? And that's what happened. People asked me, said, how long are you going to do this? Are you going to keep doing this? And they asked me about, anyway, I said, well, Psalms 104, verse 33 says, I'm going to sing as long as I live.
We're going to have to cut y'all's wages if you're only going to sing two. Amen. How about another little praise offering for the Murphs, man? Tonight we're going to talk about doubt. Let me tell you what I don't doubt. I don't doubt when a man stands and gives a proclamation or a declaration that God has brought to him by any means, form, by vision, by word, or by another prophet or somebody, and they stand and they place their foot and they make a proclamation. There's no doubt in me that that word will be carried on to the day of fruition, the day of completion. We establish these things in heaven, and they will manifest in earthly manifestation. These are guaranteed by God. I believe that. And so tonight we're going to take war against doubt, so that when you make your own proclamations, you make your own declarations, you get up and speak words out of your mouth as the body of Christ, these things will be established in heaven. They'll be done. It's finished. Now it'll just manifest in the earth on whatever day that all comes to fruition. The fingers of God goes a long ways when everything's kind of worked out for the good of those who love him and called to his purpose. Then get ready. But we just don't have time for wondering whether I prayed right or whether I taught right. I'll tell you, I know when I teach right, when I ain't been figuring it out on my own. The Bible says the Spirit of God will teach you all things, remind you everything Jesus said. The Bible says you don't even need another man to be your teacher, that the anointing will teach you. I believe that. Been trying it out on you people for 20 years. Look at you, how awesome you are. Y'all look at each other and say, we're awesome. We are an awesome people. We don't believe it anymore. We've been beat up and slapped around. We beat each other up and slap each other around. But we're awesome. We're the ones that have the mind of Christ. We're the ones that have the anointing of God. We're the ones who are full partners with the owner of the world, the whole universe. He owns it and made us a co-heir. We are awesome. The earth is awesome. America is awesome. Bailey County is awesome now that we've had 2 inches of rain. Your family's awesome. Man, 20 years of standing up here, I've heard testimony after testimony of how big everybody's troubles is. On what day do we begin to testify about what we just sang about? We'll sing it. Yeah, you made the blind to see. You raised the dead. You did miracles, signs, and wonders. I love the way Rhonda sung it, and I heard you, Rhonda. That song was written in the past, and you said you are. You sung it in the present. It's not who he was. It's who he is. Yeah, when you have that mentality, because you have come into Mount Zion, you've come into the kingdom of God, then you know. You can't, I say it all the time, I can't testify to anybody else. You can't make me not believe in Jesus. That's impossible. I know him. So if you put me on a lie detector and held a gun to my head and said, you got to say that Jesus doesn't exist to a point that we believe it, or we're going to shoot you right in the head. I say, won't you pull while I pray, because this ain't going to work very good. I have no other options. I don't have another option. I'd have to be a liar. Until you come to that reality, if you're still trying to feel your way through this, through all the trappings of religion, with the earth trying to get the world coming at you from all sides, everything coming at you, what happens? You begin to doubt. So tonight, before we start, I want to read to you out of James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 6. Not James chapter 6, verse 1. You know how I've been doing here lately. I get all tangled up, but I'm going to slow down a little bit and not try to get ahead of myself. I'm going to start in verse 2 because I think the book of James is an amazing book. James apparently was kind of a straight-up kind of guy. You know, John, he was all lovey-dovey. Until they stuck him on the island of Patmos and about half starved him to death, and God lifted him up to write the book of Revelation, then he kind of got in a war zone. Prior to that, he was pretty lovey-dovey, and I'm pretty sure he was sick of Peter because he was just kind of a walking mess up all the time. James, he kind of had it going on. Like, me and James would have a little in common. If James knew it, what we knew today, back then, first line of James chapter 1 would say, suck it up, buttercup. And then verse 2 would say, you ought to put your big boy panties on before you try this. Didn't that sound familiar? Yeah, we say the same things, we just say it a little different. He said, my brethren, count it all joy when you face various trials, because knowing the test of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Isn't that what he just said? Suck it up, buttercup. Count it all joy when you get ready to do a little bit of the hard stuff. You know what happens in the hard stuff? You'll begin to pray. You don't know how you get ready to pray and receive and believe and walk through the hard stuff once you start doing the little stuff. I had a really good testimony this last week. There's a roping dummy out there that was made 20 years ago, and there's only about 3 of them on the planet. And a good friend of mine has one, and I tried to buy his because I just think it would really make my roping amazing, because I've had a little doubt going on, and my roping has been less than amazing here lately. And so he drives up on one laying beside a barn, and the guy wants to sell it. The first thought in his head is, God must be trying to help old Steve out. When's the last time one of your buddies saw something you needed or desired, a little small thing, and they knew God was helping you out because that's who you are? Christianity's not what you do, but it's who you are. And when you can believe God for the little stuff, the things that look plumb crazy to people, why would God be involved with a roping dummy? Because he said he'd give me the desires of my heart if I just trust him. Because I can live my life to the full. And if I'll live it to the full, I'll reveal the fullness of his glory. It's one of the other problems we have with church people. We sit darn busy waiting on somebody to blow a trumpet and beam me up, Scotty. We forgot how to live. To get out and live to the glory of God. Take a deep breath and take long steps. Get to a certain age and you're required to spend the rest of your life staring in the rearview mirror when he said there's a whole windshield here looking out into the kingdom of God. Why don't you get up and get to moving? And do it all to my glory. Whatever you do in word or deed, do it to the glory of God. That includes roping a dummy to the glory of God. God got the credit without me ever saying anything. Somebody else gave God the credit for what I got. This is good stuff right here. Tonight, we're fixing to have really good, what people call church service. I don't even like that word. Two words. It's two words. Yeah, this little gathering. I just want to ask you, over the last decade, how many of y'all have been to a good church service? Anybody been to a good church service? You just thought God was moving and there's something going on. So if you left this building and you got up next morning, you went to work, you went down to the feed store, you went to the coffee shop, or you went down to the gossip group at McDonald's, whatever it is. And you told them all, man, we had an amazing church service last night. That'd ricochet off him like a BB off a brick. Who cares if you had a good church service last night? Who cares? Not anybody that wasn't here. They don't care. I'm just telling you the truth. But when you tell him, when you come sit down with your coffee and you tell them all, hey, I had a brain tumor last week and we started praying there. My wife put her hands on me and prayed for me, and we went to the doctor yesterday, and I don't have a brain tumor anymore. Hey, boys, I don't know if you noticed anymore, but, man, I really slowed down my cussing, and I ain't even had to try because I've been renewing my mind with the Bible. I talk different now. Or, hey, you guys are griping and bellyaching about everything. You don't look like you're in a very good mood. Would y'all care if I prayed with you? I think God will do something. Now you're doing something. Kind of like going to sale barn, ain't it, Murph? Just wear them down. Just keep God right in the middle of everything all the time. Count it pure joy when you get to test your faith. But let me tell you, before you get to the big thing, do the little stuff. Every day, all day. You remember me teaching one night in here about the stuff that's laid up for you here in this earth, and you're just on a path to it? You know, if you'll explain that to your children on their way to their soulmate, really good idea. Because he already knows what you need before you ever ask. You're just kind of waiting to get there. When you live expectantly watching what God will do, I'll tell you one more quick little old testimony. This weekend, Robin thinks I'm having about my fourth or fifth midlife crisis. How many of y'all remember a few years ago when I got sick and I sold all my horses except one, and then I decided I was not going to wear cowboy boots anymore. I was going to go fishing. I don't even like fishing. You got to sit there all day sometime before something happens. That just ain't going to work for me. I bought four boats in 1 year. How many of y'all remember the kayak story? That was one of the best ones, wasn't it? Yeah, I tipped my kayak over and went ahead and bought me a big boat. I got me one you could crawl in without getting your pants wet. And well, now we got this. I got a lot of horses. Greg, I got 8 horses. Can you believe that? That's awesome. See, this is how men do. I got more horses in my sandbox than you got. Well, I got one kind of by default this weekend. If you run a horse sale, there's some occupational hazards. Well, nowadays, you really want to try to avoid that because these things cost real money. Now, if you stub your toe now, buddy, it ain't just a little bump. It's like a... Well, I got me one.
Well, that concludes this segment in our message. Come join us 7:30 Wednesday nights at 710 East American Boulevard in Muleshoe, Texas. We're on the web www.muleshoefellowship.org. We're on YouTube as Muleshoe Fellowship. And for Steve and everyone at Muleshoe Fellowship, God bless.